unpack this to where it we can understand it. So if you're physically able to stand, would you do so? If you could find this one verse, do so in your Bible, or you can read it here from the board. Our text today is Psalm 113 and verse number 9. Psalm 113 and the very last verse of that psalm. I'll read it audibly, and then you read along silently. And then we're going to ask God's help to understand it. The verse reads, "He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. Praise the Lord." Wow. Father, we bow together to thank you that you are the source of our joy. We bow together to thank you that the joy we have right now has come from you. We bow together right now and ask you to meet us in the scriptures. Help us to hear and understand what you are saying to your people. Speak, Lord. Your people listen. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you, and you may be seated. Our subject for today is God makes a mother joyful. God makes a mother joyful. Now, this particular psalm that we are looking at is really interesting. It's one of six psalms that were sung at the Passover. Most of you will know about the Jewish festival of Passover that really celebrates for us the death of Jesus, but it was to celebrate the killing of that little lamb when Israel was set free from slavery. You remember that story? So Passover is a remembrance. It's to remember what God did to set his people free from slavery in Egypt. This is one of six psalms that are sung. It's 113 through 118, I believe. And so keep that in mind as I want to give you a few introductory remarks, and then we want to look at this last verse. Now, Israel knew, and you and I know, that right now, at this very present time, believers know that God is worthy of praise. Yes? I don't have to drill that. Any true believer knows that God is worthy of praise, regardless of what's going on in your life. If you're a believer, you've been set free from slavery. You're already free. And so the only thing left now is for you to make it to the finish line. And God promises that you'll make it to the finish line, right? There's a lot going on between you getting started and making it to the end. But God promises that you'll make it to the end. So he's worthy of praise right now. Yes? So when verse 1 says, "Praise the Lord. Praise, O servants of the Lord. Praise the name of the Lord." We can say amen. Amen. Servants of sin, no, they praise sin. When I was a heathen, you knew I was a heathen. I praised my party life and praised all that evil that I was doing. But now I'm a servant of the Lord, so I praise the Lord. Amen. Servants of sin, praise sin. Servants of the Lord, praise the Lord. Right? There's no mystery there. Now, you look at verse 2, and I want you to follow me now. Not only do believers know that God is worthy of praise right now, believers know that God will always be worthy of praise. Yes? And so you look at verses 2 and 3, "Bless the name of the Lord from this time forth and forevermore. From the rising of the sun to its setting, the name of the Lord is to be praised." And we say again, amen. God will always, always be worthy of praise. Go a little further in verse 4. Believers know that God rules over creation. You looking at verse 4? "The Lord is high above all nations and his glory above the heavens." What does that picture? It pictures him there ruling from heaven. He's above everything. God sits above everything he's ever created. As a matter of fact, the scripture says that God has to bow down to see what's going on in heaven. Isn't that picturesque? God is so high that he has to humble himself to bow down to see what's going on in heaven. That's a God who is in control, yes? He rules. He rules the visible and the invisible. Verses 5 and 6, we see that God has no equal. Who is like the Lord our God, who is seated on high, who looks far down on the heavens and the earth? Whenever the Bible asks a rhetorical question, what's it looking for? The most obvious answer. Who is like the Lord? What's the answer?
Nobody.
Nowhere, no time, no how. No one compares. Nothing compares, right? Now I'm working through these things before we get to verse 9 because I want you to see why the mother needs to be thinking about these things too. Not just Israel. Not just the congregation, but mothers need to be thinking about these things. No one is like the Lord. None. And then lastly, in verses 7 and 8, believers have experienced God's grace and mercy. He raises the poor from the dust and lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes, with the princes of his people. Again, every saint can say amen. I know where I came from. I know the mediocrity that I came from. God has blessed. I can look around this room and I can emphatically say God has blessed us. But we didn't all start here.
Amen.
God brought us out of some very difficult circumstances. And I don't simply mean saving us. God delivered me before I was saved. I wasn't saved till I was 28. God blessed me a lot of years before I got saved. Now I have to look back on it and still give God the credit. Yes?
Amen.
Wasn't my education. I thank God that I got it, but I wouldn't have got it if he hadn't kept my mind. With all of the stuff that I was dumping in my body and ruining myself, God still kept my mind intact because he had purposes for it. God is good.
Amen.
Yeah. Everybody in here has received God's grace and mercy. Yes?
Amen.
Raises the poor from the ash heap. You know, talk to some of these young people. You talk about some of the real situations, the things that y'all see on TV. You see, I grew up with an outhouse. I don't have to watch a movie. I don't have to watch Deliverance or some movie to find out what life's like without inside plumbing. I grew up when you had to take a bath in a tub that you go and dip the water and pour it in there.
Amen.
Sometimes have to heat it up on the stove. Yeah?
Amen.
So when I say God raised us, I'm not playing games. I grew up where you have a heater in the middle of the room in the wintertime. All you folk with central cooling and heating, where you stand around that heater and get warm. And what? Then you have to run to jump in the bed under some quilts that somebody has made.
Hallelujah.
So you can stay warm.
Yeah.
Now, I'm not trying to paint a pity party here. I'm simply saying, when I say that God has raised us up, I want you to really think about what he's saying here. You know, this is not just Israel. This is us.
Amen.
God has raised us from some difficult circumstances to be sitting here today.
Amen.
Yes? And so believers have experienced God's grace and mercy. So for the next few minutes, I want us to gather our thoughts around these two statements. As we get mothers now, I'm trying to exhort mothers to think in a particular direction. The first thought is this: God provides for mothers.
Amen.
Which leads to the second thought, then mothers should praise the Lord. Amen. That logical?
Amen.
God provides for mothers, therefore mothers what? should praise the Lord. That's it. That's our sermon for today. Can we dive in? Just want to look at that real quick. So let's start by thinking about how God provides for mothers. Now, there's many ways. I'm just staying with this one verse, okay? We're just zeroing in on this particular verse. So this verse says one of the ways God provides for mothers is children. Okay? Children. All females are barren at some point in time without children. Now, some females are without children their entire life, but all females are without children at some point. Yes?
Amen.
So this is a reality for every female that's born. You've got some period in your life where you are barren. You follow me so far? Every pregnancy, then, and every birth is a gift from God. Since every female is barren, if you get pregnant and if you have a child, that is a gift from God. Not simply your fertility and, you know, all of the science behind it. You remember the first woman and the first child we have, the first pregnancy and the first birth we have in the Bible is Eve. She got pregnant, Adam and Eve. We find in Genesis 4 that that she got pregnant. She had her first child, you know his name? Cain. And she said, I have produced a man with the help of who? The Lord. Now that's, the first woman knew, I couldn't have done this alone. There's no way that this child could have formed in me and I've given birth. Now see, because they didn't have barns and all of these great hospitals and it is something. Now I'm a husband and I just observe it. But you just think about what women had to endure with pregnancy and childbirth long before all these sedatives and things came along. Yeah. With the help of the Lord. With the help of the Lord, not the medication, right? And so you've got verses like Psalm 127, 3, behold, children are a heritage or a gift of the Lord, right? I want to turn to this one. Can you? Most of you are going to be familiar with these two verses. Can you find Psalm 139? Most of you have heard these verses, but rather than me just quoting them, let's just turn there and look at them. Psalm 139, verses 14 and 15. The psalmist writing here, David writing, says, I praise you. Excuse me, verses 14 and 15, that's right. I praise you for I am fearfully. Well, let's read 13. Let's read 13. I didn't write that down. We'll start with 13. For you formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. You see that?
Yes.
Who did it?
God,
you see? He's not giving credit to the science. Of course there's medical things that took place, but who controls the medical things? You did it. You formed my inward parts. You knitted me together in my mother's womb. Now, verse 14, I praise you. Why? For I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Who did it? God did it. Wonderful are your works. My soul knows it very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret, intricately woven in the depths of the earth. This is for every mother and every parent and every child here, don't forget this point. Every child is a gift from the Lord. And particularly to you children, there are no accidents.
Amen.
There are no accidents. I know we live in a day and an age with birth control, and there's all kinds of birth control. But the true controller is God. How many times has man's birth control failed? Proving that man may know some things, but he's not. God is the one that's in control. Yes? And so I leave this point with just hoping that you will accept that. Every pregnancy and every birth is a gift from God. You ask, if you follow the scriptures, I mean, we already looked at Eve. Some of you know the story of Sarah. She couldn't get pregnant, right? God gave her the gift of it. Rachel and Hannah had difficulty with pregnancies, and God gave them the great grace and ability to be pregnant. Elizabeth in the New Testament, God demonstrated to them that he was the giver of life when it comes to children. Now, you contrast that with the way people think today. Today, people think that children are problematic. Today, people think that children negatively affect a woman's body. Yes? Today, the view is that children negatively affect women's careers, negatively affect women's plans or their income. But for the Christian, children are a gracious gift and a blessing. That's all I want to leave you with. Children are a gracious gift and a blessing. Mothers, mothers, mothers. God packages them all different. Yes? So you can't pick and choose which children are a blessing. I'm saying to you, God says every one of them is a blessing. Yes? Every child is a blessing to a mother that's thinking right. The last thing I want to say here about God providing for mothers is what I call purpose and responsibility. So a mother should be thankful that God provides her purpose and responsibility. Well, you say, Brother Willie, where you get that? I get that from one word. You got your Bible open? Let's get back over here to Psalm 113. Verse 9 says, he gives the barren woman, that next word is what I'm talking about, a home. He gives the barren woman a home. Home means that God gives a woman a place to manage. There are many people, and women in particular, looking to get in the workforce so they can become managers. God says, I've already taken care of that for you. You want to be the boss? I've already given you a place where you can be the boss. I've already given you a place where you got responsibility over everything. And now, don't tune me out, because I'm not preaching a doctrine to you of barefoot and all that kind of stuff. That see, Christians begin to let people paint a picture that God isn't painting about how women to be back barefoot and pregnant and aprons and all. That's not the thing. God actually paints a different picture. He says that the woman is actually the manager. Now, stay with me, and I want to prove this to you. You got, can you find 1 Timothy 5, verse 4? The woman is the manager of her home. 1 Timothy 5:14. So I would have, this context is addressing widows and how the church is to take care of widows. But I would have younger widows marry, bear children. You see that next phrase? Manage their households and give the adversary no occasion for slander. Women are managers. Don't let anybody take that away from you. God gave you that. You see what I'm saying here? God provided this for a mother. Amen. We're letting the world try to take it away. And God says, I gave you purpose and responsibility. You don't have to let the world define how important you are. Amen. Now, don't get ahead of me. Don't get ahead of me. Just listen to me until I'm done, okay? The home is the place to manage. Every Christian needs both purpose and responsibility, and God establishes the home as this place for the Christian mother. Now, this is the reason I don't want you to get ahead of me. I am not saying that a woman cannot or should not work outside the home. Absolutely not. I am saying that God established the home as the place where she can manage and the place where she has both purpose and responsibility. You don't have to go to work for AT&T or wherever to find purpose and responsibility. God has already made that provision for a mother. Now, the problem is that the world is trying to redefine that. The world is trying to steal this very provision from Christian mothers, trying to make them believe that if you have a child, you need to get back to work in 3 weeks. Or whatever. The pressure, bringing the pressure to a mother when God hasn't done that. You with me? God has made provisions for mothers, and he's given this purpose and responsibility. Now, again, I want to show you this from the scriptures. Can you turn to Proverbs? I didn't write this down, so you'll just have to find it yourself. Can you find Proverbs 31? And verse 16, many of the women have studied this over the years, but I want to point it out to you. Proverbs chapter 31 and verse 16. Proverbs 31. Now, many of you have studied this as the virtuous woman. You remember that when you study Proverbs 31? Yeah, many Bible studies have this as the virtuous woman. And this is the woman on which God is bragging. Now notice, this is a mother. She takes care of her home. She takes care of her children. But you got verse 16? You got verse 16? She considers a field and does what? Buys it. With the fruit of her hand, she plants a vineyard. She now, she's taken care of her home. Now she's working outside the home. She's becoming a real estate agent and investing and learning how to manage property. You got verse 18? She perceives that her merchandise is profitable. Her lamp does not go out. This woman is doing some incredible things for her family. I see another one. You see verse 24? You got verse 24? Look at that. She makes linen garments and does what? Sell them. Right? So, you see what I'm saying? God isn't saying that the woman only has to work in the home. What he's saying is that this is a place that you can manage. You can find work. You can find identity. It's all right here. Yeah. Manage that well. If you manage that well, God bless you. But if you can't, don't think you have to go. Leave this alone. Drop this. Let this go undone to go out and try to find identity somewhere else. This woman right here does it all. Yes. And gets very little credit for it from the world. But she gets a lot of credit and praise from God. That's the reason we praise the Lord. Amen. Yes? Amen. Mothers get their praise from God. The people around you, your own family may not praise you, but God praises you. Be a faithful Christian mother. Yes? Because God has provided for you. So God provides for mothers. And then lastly, mothers then should praise the Lord. I've got two thoughts here. Mothers should praise the Lord joyfully. Let me get back to the text. Can you get back to our text, Psalm 113? Verse 9. He gives the barren woman a home, making her the joyous mother of children. So my point is, children and a home are designed by God to bring great joy to a Christian mother. You see, the things that he's provided are to bring a mother joy. Not, you shouldn't feel that that's a burden, that I'm being chained up, that I'm being locked up. It ought to bring great joy. This joy must come from right thinking. A mother who is going to have real joy at home is a mother who sees children and a home as a blessing. A mother who sees children and a home as a privilege. A mother who sees children and a home as a ministry. A mother who sees children and a home as a way of bearing witness, a witness to your children, that your children can bear witness to the world. A mother and a home with children is a way to populate the earth. That's what God said to Adam and Eve. Go and populate the world. You see, we've got countries that are stopping children, women from having babies. France stopped women from having babies years ago. Now they don't have young people to support their social security system. They are paying women to have babies now because they try to defy God's plan. The world, the earth is not overpopulated. You got cities that are overpopulated. Everybody's flocking to New York and these places that are dense. You got major areas of our globe where nobody lives. This world is not overpopulated. Yes? Women then who see children in a home as a blessing will then begin to have joy. You see children in a home as a means to populate heaven. Think of all the saints in heaven. Some woman had the grace to have that child. There won't be a soul in heaven that didn't have a mother.
Amen.
Yes? And many of the saints there will have had the gospel shared with them by their mother. Yes? Children in a home as a mean for the progress of the kingdom of God. Every one of us had a mother. We're here working for the kingdom because that mother did her best to make sure that we could move forward. Whether your mother was a Christian or not, God used that mother to bring you forward. Amen. Yes? And so, but for mothers, I'm saying that you ought to have joy. If God has given you children and a home, you ought to have joy. Stop waiting until you get the house of your dreams before you have joy. Stop waiting until your children obey and do everything you say before you have joy. Right? Stop waiting until your children are saved before you have. You need to have joy now because God has provided you everything necessary for joy. Not only that, mothers should praise the Lord not just joyfully but faithfully. Children in a home are a reminder of God's goodness every day. Every day a mother wakes up, you should be reminded of God's faithfulness to you. And you should faithfully praise the Lord. So the Christian mother has a reason to praise the Lord every day, right? God is faithful to mothers every day, so mothers should faithfully praise the Lord every day. So I have a simple message to remind mothers today. Every day should be a day of thanksgiving. God has been good to you, and he keeps on what? Blessing you.
Yes.
Right? He blesses you on Monday, and he blesses you on Tuesday. He blesses you on Wednesday and right down through the week, right? He blesses you when the weekend comes in. He blesses you on Saturday. He blesses you on Sunday as he ushers that in. He just keeps on blessing you. Every day for a mother ought to be a day of thanksgiving. He blesses you when you're pregnant. Blesses you when you give birth. He blesses you when you nurse and nurture that child. He blesses you when you feed the child. He blesses you when you clothe the child. He blesses you when you teach the child and when you discipline the child. He blesses you when you cry over that baby. He blesses you when you pray over that child. He blesses you when you make sacrifices for that child. Blesses you when you watch them grow up. Blesses you when they respect you. He blesses you when they obey you. He blesses you when that child honors you. He blesses you when they embrace the good habits that you give before them. He blesses you when they love you in return. God keeps on blessing you when they spend time with you. Being a mother is worth the time. Being a mother is worth the sacrifice, my sisters. And it most assuredly has eternal rewards. Therefore, don't grow weary in your well-doing of being a good mother. Stay steadfast until the end. Be a joyful mother until the end. And be a faithful mother until the end. And the same is true for every Christian. Find your purpose in life. It'll bring you joy. And stay faithful to it until the end. And if you're not a Christian, today would be a great day for you to find that the Lord is worthy of praise. Today would be a great day for you to see what Jesus has done for you. If you are not a Christian, today would be a great day for you to bring joy to your mother. Hopefully, if she's still alive, for you to bring joy to your mother right today. If you're not a believer, what a great blessing it would be for you to come to Christ today. Surrender to him today. Stop making your excuses and come to him today. Lord, we thank you that you're so faithful to us and